And friends, under St. Patrick's Day, we welcome, indeed, first of all, he's a friend of mine, a friend of ours, which is only coincidental that his, you know, that his people before him came from Mayo. And as happened to many in Mayo, some of them, you know, were kind of a little bit leery about crossing the sea, so they emigrated up to Dublin, and that was as far as they got. Anyway, fate being what it is, my guest, who is Chief Executive Officer of Tourism Ireland Worldwide, Niall Gibbons, first of all, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Adrian, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Very happy St. Patrick's Day. Now, for, as I say, it took a minute about the Mayo connection.
The Mayo connection is on my father's side of the family. The Gibbonses came from Lacandy, mm-hmm. and before them, out in Lewsburg, and before them again, out in Achaney, near Runa. So I think for the census records now, it's been fantastic in terms of going back to where the family roots are. It's been amazing.
And actually, our listeners ought to know that, because that word should get out. And that is that there are tremendous Irish government records for free that most people would not believe, that if you have the time to put into it and you go to the Irish government website, that indeed you can go a long way in tracing your roots.
It's amazing, and I think we were over here about 3 years ago launching that particular site.
Right.
If you just do a web search for 1901 census or 1911 census, all the information is there. And what's amazing and what people are finding intriguing about it is that when you go in, you will find the records that your ancestor filled out. Like, whereas compared to the British one, if you go in, the records are very good, but they're typed records.
Yeah.
But this is actually the handwriting of your ancestor, so you're effectively getting right into the heart and soul of your family.
God.
And, you know, what you're likely to find, I mean, that the head of the household in 1901, for example, if they were 80 years of age, I mean, that means that you've traced your family effectively back to maybe 1820, so it's
right.
Intriguing, you know.
Yeah.
So I got those records.
And through the famine period, which a lot of people, of course, as we know, there's a lot of interest in the famine, and a lot of people left Ireland, obviously, because of the famine, but it's all there.
Yeah, exactly, and I mean, the records get patchy when you go back beyond 1850.
Right.
But if you are, and you have traced your family history on the 1901 and 1911 websites, there are other sites like the Irish Family History Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and I know Mayo Roots as well have got a very good website.
I sure do.
A slight charge
yeah.
in that, but you still, if you need to delve in a little bit deeper, there's some great work on the Ireland Reaching Out projects too. People who are going to graveyards to sort of assemble sort of the patchy bit of the history, so to speak, around 1845, 1850.
I now need to explain that, you know, with half in fun, half in earnest and tongue in cheek, we're talking about those who made it from all parts of Ireland, particularly the west of Ireland, and got as far as Dublin, and that somehow appeared to be nearly the end of the earth. You're suffering, you know, for all of your ancestors who felt that Dublin, you know, was so far away, and you now, of course, go round in circles, circling the world, because you, tourism, we'd love to think that every last tourist coming to Ireland comes from North America, and we act, in fact, like that's the case. But your portfolio can't get any bigger from once you take in the responsibility of bringing in tourists from the whole world. There isn't anywhere to go from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big responsibility, and we come through some difficult years, and I think what's been really heartening is that, you know, we're seeing a lot of our markets now return to record levels in terms of tourism. To put the numbers in perspective, last year we welcomed about 8 million people coming to Ireland. They spent about 3.6 billion euros, supported 200,000 jobs across the island of Ireland. And I think what's significant about that those jobs aren't just in big places like Dublin that you mentioned already,
right.
but they're spread around every town and village, across every county and every community in Ireland. And I think what we saw last year, the year of the gathering, was towns and communities responding to tourism in a way that they didn't before. It wasn't just about the marketing, it was also about the community spirit on the ground. And so that led to those numbers. And from the United States alone, to put the numbers in perspective, it was a record year.
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting in this chair with you maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and we were just starting to see the signs of growth coming back in.
Right.
But we had a stunning year last year. It grew by nearly 14% from this market. We had additional air access capacity. We had great marketing out there. And we saw people come back in huge numbers. And it was really felt on the ground. The Irish tourism industry really felt the Americans back in big numbers.
Obviously, there's tremendous focus on New York City, not only for today, but I think that if you speak with many who are particularly, you know, the consuls general, including our own here, Noel Kilkenny, you would, and he would say, as most of us know, there is no St. Patrick's Day anymore. There isn't even a St. Patrick's Week anymore. Let's start with the month of St. Patrick, Irish-American Heritage Month. And that's evident, no matter where you go.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It is turning into something that's much, much bigger. And, well, that's good. I think there's a focus on Ireland. I mean, is there any other country in the world that has anything like this? I've never come across it in all my travels. And if you consider the reach and impact of St. Patrick's Day, I keep getting asked at home, well, what's the value of it? Mm. And the way I sometimes describe it is that, well, if you were the president of Coca-Cola and somebody said to you, Adrian, we're going to stop the world for a day to honour your product, and civic leaders will come to a standstill and host dinners and receptions in your favour, and the president of the United States will accept a can of Coke and be photographed with it all over the world, and you'd have parades down the streets and people would have parties and they'd go to a certain country to celebrate your product, and by the way, you wouldn't have to pay anything for it. You know, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's just incredible. And it's going from strength to strength. And what's interesting is that, you know, traditional markets like the United States, where it's always been very, very strong, it's still strong. I'm here for probably my fourth St. Patrick's Day in New York. But I've seen other ones around the world too. And what's interesting is that as the new Irish start to emigrate again, new Irish communities start to grow. And I was in the Middle East recently, and when there were 5 GAA clubs in Abu Dhabi alone. So, you know, the GAA is playing a bigger role overseas in terms of the new Irish, so to speak, you know, particularly in places like the Middle East and in Asia.
And indeed, the theme for the St. Patrick's Day parade on Fifth Avenue today is dedicated to the GAA, the Gaelic Athletic Association, the centenary being celebrated here. And and for the first time since, I believe it was some early in the 40s, the Gaelic Athletic Association are actually marching today on Fifth Avenue, and they are marching under their own banner for the first time in all those years. Now, there'll be many of them, of course, will be missed from their own county organizations and from the varied traditional areas where they would, you know, where they normally would be holding their places. But it's a great tribute. It's a great tribute to Ireland, and it's a great tribute, of course, to the influence of the GAA, as you just pointed out. I mean, but that brings us to something that maybe some of our listeners may not be aware of. We feel, and God knows we contribute greatly in this country to the spreading of the green and the wearing of the green. Okay, we better keep that up, because my guest, friends, Niall Gibbons, is the person responsible for the greening of the world on this St. Patrick's Day, and indeed leading up to it as well. Tell us about that.
Well, it's called Tourism Ireland's Global Greening Project, and it started about 5 years ago. It was the 200th anniversary of the arrival of the Irish in Australia, and we asked them would they light up the Sydney Opera House green, and they did, and it had a dramatic impact. I mean, when you actually saw it, everyone was as proud as punch. So we decided to extend the program a little bit more the following year, and it's grown now to the point where it's in its fifth year, and we have over 100 major icons around the world which are lighting up green. And, I mean, there are numbers that have done it for the last few years, like, for example, the London Eye, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Mm-hmm. We had a great one last year, the Pyramids of Egypt, the Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil. Here in New York, the Empire State had always gone green, and we always know that the river in Chicago had gone green.
Yeah.
There's a load more in the United States are going green, particularly in Chicago, Philadelphia, San Francisco. And it's taken on a life of its own. And the big one that we just saw in the last day or so was the Great Wall of China. I mean, if anyone ever said that the Great Wall of China is going to light up green. And this is a country where, you know, in China we don't have, you know, many connections. Obviously, we have an embassy established and we're starting to export. I mean, the United States, we've got a long established relationship, but it's an easier sell, so to speak. But I think in these emerging markets, it's very, very interesting what's happening. The Taj Mahal Hotel in India, lit up green as well, the gateway to India. The gate to Gorky Park in Russia last year lit up green too. And it's a little bit of fun as well, because it's a PR story to some extent. I mean, the value for us is that obviously news broadcasts will carry this material tomorrow. There'll be a spotlight on Ireland, and this is something quirky that no other country does.
Yeah.
And it really is a show of strength of the diaspora, really, because people will ask me, how do you get these things done? We don't pay for it. It's not paid for. So, you know, things like Table Mountain in South Africa, which is a World Heritage Site, is lit up green, and that probably wouldn't happen but for the work of the St. Patrick's Trust. The Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Brazil is in the power or the gift of the Archbishop down there, and he lit that green because of all the work that Irish missionaries did over the years. So I think it's a nice tribute to all our people right around
the world. But there is something that we could never even possibly imagine. You know, the Great Wall of China, you know, green. My God. You know, what a stretch that is.
It is, yeah. And every year, I mean, people say, well, you know, what are you going to do next year? So I'm sort of sitting here and I'll have to think of something. But we always have a list of 30 or 40 icons that we're looking for and thinking about. And, you know, people have been really receptive towards us. I mean, when you do approach them, you know, we've generally got a good answer from them. So even tonight, the more quirky one was the Moulin Rouge, which everyone is familiar with in France. Well, the Moulin Rouge became the Moulin Vert. And it's lit up green tonight, and the Can-Can girls are outside dancing.
Hey,
and there are
how
four
that.
And there were four television stations in France covering the event. So, I mean, that's where the public relations value for Ireland comes from.
Try, if you can, just, I mean, it's the chicken and the egg. There is no way that you can take those icons worldwide and not have that translate into an awareness of people who probably haven't thought of coming to Ireland, of, you know, that Ireland is there, and it's definitely it's green, and it's a place to go to. But if that's an in-your-face kind of reminder for the St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's weekend and season, sometimes in some of those very places that you have mentioned, there couldn't be a better marketing tool. Anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, across social media today, I was just keeping an eye on some of the comments, and I mean, there's an enormous amount of coverage of all the greetings that are going on, and it's gone viral. And it's a good campaign for us, because what you find is that in trying to market any product or service today, its channels are much more fragmented. I mean, we've got so many channels out there, so many devices. I mean, a lot of people will be looking at their television while they're on their iPhone. You can skip through ad breaks. So traditional forms of advertising are much more challenging in terms of old TV advertising and radio advertising. I think we need to, you know, constantly look for something new. And this gives us something new. And from a tourism perspective, it comes at a good time of the year, because people are thinking about where will I go for my holidays. So, you know, thank God St. Patrick's Day is on the 17th of March and not the 17th of October.
Yeah. Now, there are, you know, some facts, and that is when you build up to, as you have and as Tourism Ireland has done worldwide, to this magnificent year of the gathering, which was last year, and it achieved even more than you anticipated in terms of what do you capture from that, which will actually maintain that tremendous interest in Ireland, and much more so getting people and tourists from the world to come to Ireland, not, you know, next year, this year. How do you manage to do that?
Yeah, I think the gathering has been really, really good on a number of levels. From a tourism perspective, obviously, you know, it's got Ireland out there. There's a message that, you know, Ireland is a great place to visit. It's got people thinking about their family and their background and where they came from. I think it's renewed an interest in that, and that's good for tourism. It's got people interested in roots tourism, which is really, really good. And I think that, you know, as we move into the legacy of the gathering, which is what we're all talking about at the moment, what's going to be really important is that, you know, we continue to work with festivals and events at home that people may have interest in coming to see. I think at a broader level, the conversation that we have from with our diaspora is going to be very different. I mean, I think the gathering has made us think more at home about how do we communicate with people overseas. And that's one of the legacies of the gathering that will be more enduring. I was at the Global Irish Economic Forum in Dublin. I mean, it's a big talking point. How do we continue to communicate with our people overseas? And I think the gathering has been great in bringing all that to the fore.
But realistically, those who in many cases made their first trip to Ireland for the gathering, for the family gatherings, the clan gatherings, for you name it, you would not expect them, you know, to rush back to Ireland this year. But still, the numbers are very, very much, you know, on par with last year. Is there a sense that have the people who visited Ireland last year, what are they ambassadors for those whom you might expect this year and next year?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, the people who have come to Ireland are always great ambassadors, because the visitor attitude surveys that are carried out show that 95% of people plus you know, are very happy to recommend Ireland as a holiday vacation destination. So that's really, really positive. From a market like this, the number of repeat visitors wouldn't be as high as somewhere like Britain, which is obviously next door to us, which is easier to get to. And for some people, it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip. I've got to go to Ireland, you know, at some point. However, I mean, I'm very optimistic about this market for 2014. We've got a new route coming in from San Francisco with Aer Lingus, which starts in April.
Which is fantastic, by the way. I mean, we've met, and in fact, you have visited several parts, and is in the course of a year. It's not just New York. You have to get to, you know, several hubs across the United States. But the actual, you know, the people and those who are on the west coast of the United States couldn't be happier, you know?
It's fantastic news. And, you know, we haven't had a flight from California for 5 years. And we were out there with Leo Varadkar, our minister, a number of months ago. And, you know, the mood on the ground is very good. My feedback so far is that the seats are selling very well. That's great. The other routes that came in last year, too, which were really two really important routes, was Chicago to Shannon and Philadelphia into Shannon, one with US Airways and one with United. And obviously, we were very keen to make sure that those routes came back. They're coming back. They've got actually 90 additional flights this year from Chicago to Shannon on top of last year. And US Airways will have more seats too. So that's very positive. And I know United have announced a double daily service now as opposed to a single service from New York into Dublin. So we have more seats, a lot of marketing. We've got a new product coming out this year called the Wild Atlantic Way, which is a 1,500-mile drive from Kinsale right at the very bottom up to Donegal at the very top. Links in with the Causeway Coastal Route, which you can come around to Belfast.
Absolutely.
So you can drive the whole island.
And indeed, for those who would say, well, how could you possibly do that? Actually, Tourism Ireland, that's ireland.com. Tourism Ireland has actually broken that into very doable segments. So you don't have to set off, you know, saying, oh boy, we're going to do a couple of thousand miles. This Great Atlantic Way is it's not just a map. It's not an app for your iPhone. It is actually has been very well rooted, and Tourism Ireland has undertaken that this is not going to be just driving around. There are a lot of events. There's a lot of interest along that route for people who it's in their best interest, obviously, to come up with events and to come up with, you know, ways and good reason for people to stop off and, you know, not only see the scenery, but Spend a buck.
Yeah, no, it's really important. You don't have to do it all. I mean, if you did, it could take you 3 weeks. But it's there to take any piece that you want. It's all signposted. It's all branded. And what's really important is that there's workshops going on as I speak with the industry on the ground at home to make sure they're familiar, so that when the tourist does arrive from the United States and has any questions to ask, you know, they'll know what to do. So I think it's very exciting. I think that whole driving market is very good. If you arrive into Shannon, you can turn left or you can turn right. You're going to be on the Wild Atlantic Way.
Right.
Or if you want to travel to Dublin and come down, that's good too.
And I know that for most of us, including my more than four decades on radio here, the threat of overflying Shannon, the significance of what Shannon Airport, and indeed if we want to go up to our own home county of Mayo, that Knock Airport, which is Ireland West Airport, but it'll always be Knock in my book anyway. But having said that, that those airports, in fact, it is very, very necessary for those who are living on the other side of the Shannon to have access in those areas.
Well, it's great for people who want to come in and go straight to the West Coast, and particularly in the summer months. It makes it very easy and very accessible, and there's very good access actually, because Aer Lingus have changed the way they're doing business too. They're doing year-round services into Shannon now as well. The Boston one was launched recently, so that's very positive. So you can get Belfast, Dublin, Shannon. Actually, Ireland is very well served now, both from a regional and from an urban perspective.
And we should mention, of course, again that Belfast, considering that Tourism Ireland, whose CEO is with us today, Tourism Ireland actually services the island of Ireland. No distinction whatsoever. There may be in some other areas and politically, and but in terms of the job that Tourism Ireland has actually done since the Good Friday Agreement, it has been extraordinarily successful.
Yeah, I think it's a good story. I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, from the consumer perspective, you know, they're looking for a holiday proposition that's enriching and that's better than what the other competitors have to offer. And both parts of the island working together makes much more sense. I always use the analogy from a golfing perspective. I prefer to have Rory McIlroy and Padraig Harrington working together than working apart. So I think, you know, that we have so much to offer. I mean, you look at some things like, for example, the Irish Open was played up in Portrush, which is fantastic. First time the Irish Open went north in maybe over 50 years. And the Giro d'Italia, which is a bicycle race, is the second largest cycle race in the world after the Tour de France. That's coming to Ireland as well. It starts in Belfast in May, and that'll come down to Dublin through Armagh as well. So there you go. And, you know, it makes sense to market the island as a whole, and it's working very well.
It, I must say that we could not... I tried to just guess... a side view of that somewhere is between a very proud and a smirk to have, you know, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, both not only on our program, but at in public venues, talking about how the great success of Tourism Ireland for the island of Ireland. I mean, hey, we've come a long way.
Yes, no, I mean, absolutely. And she was at an event that we were both at the other night, and it was great to hear her talk about Tourism Ireland and the importance of tourism. And I think that's another important factor, is that as the economic recovery continues in Ireland, agriculture and tourism are leading the way in job creation. There are now 26,000 more people working in hospitality than there were 2 years ago. So Ireland and tourism, you know, tourism is very much an important part of the economic recovery.
Yes. And of course, when you have, and we've had obviously several political leaders, including the top job, the top dog from Mayo in the person of Taoiseach Enda Kenny, who has done an amazing job in a couple of days, from Washington, and of course you were there as well, to Boston, and now to New York City. The tremendous leadership in Ireland, and for those who on many occasions including some people in the West say, you know, he's such a lovely fellow, but, you know, you really, to become Taoiseach of Ireland, you have to be on the other side of the Shannon, and you have to be polished, and you have to be, you know, Dublin would be terrific altogether, and then, maybe Cork or somewhere. But finally, Taoiseach, who has to be the most positive salesperson ambassador for Ireland ever, is and has made tremendous strides. It's
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him in operation quite a lot abroad, and he took the role on at a very, very challenging time, or right, one of the most difficult times in our history. And I think the reaction that he gets where he goes is absolutely phenomenal.
And he's always selling. I tell you, it may be, you know, it's great to do visits and to develop, you know, good relations wherever he goes. But he is the greatest salesperson for Ireland, for every aspect of Ireland, including tourism. He never addresses a group of people without making sure that, you know, slips in there very nicely, the largest, you know, the gateway to Europe, and the greatest number of tourists ever last year there. It's fantastic, and it does give a lot of people around the world, it gives them a very good opportunity to, and a good reason to visit Ireland.
Yeah, and I mean, he was Minister for Tourism.
That's
back
right.
In 1994 to 97, so he knows our business, which is great. And every time he was speaking over the course of the last week, and he was also in London with us, by the way. We had a Tourism Ireland
right.
reception in the Houses of Parliament for St. Patrick's Day. Did you ever think you'd hear that 10 years ago? And he came in and spoke to 350 parliamentarians and spoke about Ireland and the importance of tourism and what we do. We were in D.C. as well, and we heard
right.
him speak at many events there, from, you know, about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, diaspora
right.
receptions, obviously at the White House. And there are, you know, many important political things to be done, but when he's
right.
told the tourism story, he knows it very well.
Now, again, I think that many people and listeners to this program would know that Tourism Ireland's job, your job, indeed, is to promote Tourism Ireland in every corner of the world. North American market is a very significant one for Ireland, and you know, the new vice president and head of tourism North America, Alison Metcalf, is really under the gun this year. You know, particularly since nobody wants to know what you have to do. Just do better than the year before, even though you break all kinds of records.
Yeah, I mean, Alison's done a fantastic job. She's a huge bank of experience. She headed up the Northern Ireland Tourist Board in Canada, then obviously came into Tourism Ireland and was the number two in the New York office for a number of years. And she stepped into the shoes and has measured up very well in the job. I'm delighted with the progress, great feedback from the industry. And I think she's done a great job, and great to have a record year in your first year. But I'm fairly optimistic we're going to have a record year in the second year as well.
So I think
2014 is going to be very positive. All the signals from the air carriers and the tour operators are good. Our teams are working very hard. I was looking at the promotional platform, and there are many things that we're doing, you know, that we did last year, but like new places that we're going to this year. Texas, you know, wasn't on the map before. I know it's great potential down there.
Right.
But in April, our team are going to be down with over a dozen Irish industry. You know, food and drink will be the theme, and they'll do a couple of road shows down there, and that's the first of what I think is going to be a much bigger push into that market. And what's interesting is that the Irish Consulate now have opened, or will be opening, I should say, an office there, and Enterprise Ireland have opened an office too, so I think you'll start to see the Irish expand here in North America.
You know, there might be, and again, the Taoiseach has very much delivered the message, tourism extraordinarily strong, and very, very vital for Ireland's economic recovery. But we also have great success in exports and, you know, in so many areas. Ireland has really, really, the combination of all the efforts and the sheer, conviction to get past this is extraordinarily evident.
It's interesting. I sit on the Export Trade Council, which is chaired by the Taoiseach and is attended by other ministers as well, and my counterparts in Enterprise Ireland and the IDA and Borbia. And
Borbia being the food.
The food agency, yeah. And the feedback that I get from them is that on the foreign direct investment side, they've had the best couple of years in the last few years that they've ever had. Mm-hmm. You've got companies like LinkedIn, like Twitter, Facebook, eBay, Google, mm-hmm. employing thousands upon thousands of people in Dublin now, and that's made a huge impact. You've got companies like Enterprise Ireland, which is our export agency, have had their best number of years in the last few years as well. There's never been a bigger push by Irish companies to try and export abroad. And Borbia have also have a record year. The export of Irish food and drink had its best year ever last year. So, I mean, this recovery, the economic recovery, as always said, is going to be an export-led one. Ireland is a very open economy. Obviously, tourism doing well too. And it's all about jobs.
Yeah. Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network on this St. Patrick's Day, and I know that maybe roles are somewhat reversed as we look around this town here. There was a time, indeed, when we would be getting messages transatlantic from those who have tremendous success stories in Ireland, whose job it is to market Ireland throughout the world. And but I want to give you the opportunity today. Niall Gibbons, as Chief Executive Officer of Tourism Ireland Worldwide, for you to extend your greetings to wherever you have been and to where the places that you can't be today. So take it away.
Look, it's just great to be in New York on St. Patrick's Day. I have to say, I always love coming over here. It's great to be on the show here as well. To everyone out there, a really happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm looking forward to getting out and about. We've got a lot of very busy day ahead of us today as well. A lot of media attention on Ireland. Our global greening project is going viral. We've got all sorts of channels looking for information. NBC are sponsoring the St. Patrick's Day Parade today, so interviews to be done, good stories to be told. And I think, you know, what we're seeing is I think it's a sort of resurgence of a new Ireland to some extent. You know, I'm finding that with all these new companies coming in and investing in Ireland, there's a youth and an energy about the place. And, you know, there's still a distance to go. I mean, there's still a lot of difficulties on the economic front, but the graph is heading in the right direction, and there's a new and emerging confidence that's there, and I think that's sort of got reflected in tourism too. But I want to thank everybody here, particularly for all the support that they've got. We couldn't have done it on our own, and we're looking forward to a great year and welcoming lots of people home. While the gathering was 2013, the gathering is there forever. You can always come home. You don't have to wait till the next one. But I think people who have family connections with Ireland, there's never been a better time to check that out. And also for people who are just looking for a new adventure, maybe. I think the Wild Atlantic Way offers something that is going to really bowl people over. I think they'll be really stunned by it.
And the big US game, you might want to give that a mention as
Penn State, yes, are playing UCF. That's on the end of August. The last time we had a big game, by the way, was about 2 years ago, and that was when Notre Dame played Navy. Mm-hmm. And 50,000 people attended that game, and 35,000 people travelled from the United States. More people came from the United States to Ireland for that game than went to London for the Olympic Games, and that says something. So we're in Croke Park this time. It's going to be much bigger. There's 69,000 tickets for sale, and I know they're selling well already, and there'll be a lot of people around Ireland at the end of August.
Well, friends, as I say, and I actually really believe it, the website Ireland.com. It is the Bible of travel to Ireland. And indeed, if you're not thinking of going to Ireland, why don't you browse through Ireland.com? Now, you don't have to come back and tell me, well, you know, we're going anyway. But I'm just telling you, log on anytime. The website is updated every day of the year. And it is, again, that's the Bible of Ireland, of travel to Ireland. It's an encyclopedia of Ireland, no better site, Ireland.com. And to Niall Gibbons, again, it's very nice to have you with us in what we say is the greatest city in the world. Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for all your support, Adrian, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Look forward to being back in this city again in a few months' time, and hopefully with more good news in relation to tourism to Ireland. But in the meantime,
that's all we accept now. It's more good news. Friends, stay tuned, because we will be with you until 4 o'clock New York time, and you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA.